The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And on that note, I'd like to welcome Ms. Dawn Petgrave to the conversation. Good morning to you, Ms. Petgrave, and welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Good morning, good morning. So we're talking about mental health awareness, and this is the month for it. You know, May being the month that we focus on mental health awareness. Tell us a little bit about the work that has been done so far, and also to tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into this profession, and why did you choose psychology?
All right. So again, thank you for having me. A little bit about me. So I was born and raised in rural Jamaica, very, very poor, very, very poor. And I know that from a child, I have just always been very empathetic for people. So I have always been the little one that everybody comes to. And so in school, I've always been the class monitor, the one that the teacher left in charge, or the one that everybody come to talk with. Mm-hmm. So when I moved overseas to study, I was supposed to study fashion and designing, and I ended up doing education and psychology, which were my second loves. But the more I study psychology and recognize the impact that the mind has on our entire well-being, I just grew more interested. An area specifically is what we call ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, and how that affects us as adults. And so I have double masters. I have a master's in counseling psychology and a master's in forensic psychology, because later on in my life, I started meeting some good people who have done some really, really bad acts in life. And I got curious as to how does the mind of a criminal work? What would have caused a person to do what they do? So mm-hmm. I ended up doing a second master's degree in forensic psychology. So I do now, I work in both fields. I work with a lot of complex traumas, especially in children, but also complex traumas in adults who experience childhood traumas that were never, just were never solved. Mm-hmm. And then we see them showing up later on in adulthood.
Now, we did a previous interview where we spoke about the young people, secondary school age, as it pertains to, well, Jamaica's experience as it relates, well, compares to Trinidad's experience. And we realized that we weren't too far off in that we understood, you know, environment has a lot to play with their mental health and the way that they act out. Now, this all of this to say that there's another story in Trinidad that I'm not sure if you've heard of as yet, where a 12-year-old boy who was removed from an unsafe home to another place where it was expected that he would have this space to heal, this space to explore his traumas and find some sort of, program for him. He has now, it's been reported that he's been acting out for the last 6 years, and unfortunately, the authorities there weren't able to get a handle on it until now. How do we as community members, citizens of Trinidad and Tobago, how do we manage to get around the idea and begin the work of healing, and how can we assist this young boy?
All right, great question. So I hope he has some psychologists or psychiatrists that are working with him. Now, there's a couple of assessments that if I were supposed to work with him, there's a couple of things that I would do at the initial stage. The first one, obviously, is I would have him complete an ACEs report, because that right there is going to show me if there has been any emotional, psychological, physical abuse. It is also going to show if there has been any sexual abuse. The same form is also going to show if the child has been living with anyone that has mental illnesses, because that also affects children. Mm-hmm. So even if they're living with people in the home that are mentally ill, it also affects them. The next thing it shows is, have they been living with persons who have abused substance, or persons who have been incarcerated? All right, so the one form, it's 10 questions. It's going to bring to the forefront all of those, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the next thing that I will do is an emotional attachment style test, because again, the ACEs result usually also impact a person's attachment style. So once you have those evidence, because what it is to go in and say, oh, this child is bad, this child is acting up, and try to deal with the symptoms. We have to get to the root of what is really causing the behaviors, okay? So let me also say that the mind is not fully developed until age 25. Let's figure that out, age 25. So it means, therefore, that the first years of a child, how they were cared for, that is also going to develop how well, is going to affect how well their brain is developed. So if a child is living in trauma in a home where there is DV, domestic violence, intimate partner violence, if they're constantly living in communities where there's violence and they've seen all these things, now there is going to be some form of impairment in their development, in their brain development. Now children, most of the time, do not know how to articulate their emotions. They don't know how to express what they're feeling. So we see them acting it out. And more than likely, this is probably what is happening to this young man.
Now, the effect that this young man is having on the other children in the home. Now, I have to remember that these children were taken out of a situation and brought to this institution that was considered to be a safe haven. How do the other children, how do we help the other children as well? Because I'm wondering, how do they survive? What were some of the things that may be, well, from the authority side, what are some of the things that may be hindering them from completing the job or the assessment?
You know, I would be curious to see what the situations in these safe homes are like. Because sometimes a safe home just means that they're not being physically abused. Right?
They can sleep, remember, and they can have a meal. I guess those are the first basic basic steps that need to be taken care of before the other other situations come up.
Exactly. But are we now dealing with the emotional abuse that might have been, that might have taken place? Are we deal with all the other things? Because are there, is there love shown in these homes? Is there, are we being intentional with showing love and empathy? Are we having activities that is going to show self-love and development? You know how many children are walking around feeling worthless and have no hope in life? So we can't just address the physical, we take them out, you know, we put them in a safer space because they were probably in an abusive home. But I saw from experience that some of these safe homes are worse than the physical home that they're taking them from. You know, so we have to deal with the holistic person. We definitely have to be dealing with the holistic person.
And just from the little that you just said there, you know, you kind of think of... you're looking at TV shows and you get little glimpses of how these homes are portrayed on television, and you're kind of hoping that it's not what it is in real life, where, you know, from reading this particular story, because it shook me this morning, you know, with this happening for from this, according to the story, it's been happening over a period of 6 years, and unfortunately it seems that the superiors did not have the tools to deal with it. You know, and you're just wondering, as you said, that the way that traumas present itself is by actions and what comes out of the child. How, I'm still trying to figure out how these red flags were missed, you know, how, because they're saying that this child was interfering with animals as well. How can we prevent this from happening again? What are some of the measures that probably Jamaica has that alerts to this situation and can be changed? What are some of the things that you can suggest that they implement here?
All right, absolutely. So I would love a link to the story, because I'm not familiar with the story. This was short notice. But nonetheless, I would love to see the story. But let me just say this, because just by what you're saying, there's so many things happening. Chances are, based on what I am hearing, there may be some form of disorder, some mental disorder with this child that needs to be addressed. You understand? Mm-hmm. But how that is going to be addressed, it first has to be assessed. So you really do need to get this child to go through these assessments that are going to show exactly what kind of mental disorder, because you might have, you have mental problems, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have a mental disorder, right? I mean, we have what is called the DSM-5 that our clinicians have to use. So it gives you the criteriums for a particular disorder. So it sounds therefore that this child has some form of disorder. Mm-hmm. Now, after that is done, there are some disorders that you definitely have to get medication to be able to regulate, because talk therapy cannot help a person that is not centered. So sometimes you really do need to know, see what is happening with the child, what kind of medication that they may need just to be able to regulate them, then you can start the treatment plan. He might has to be isolated from the other children, because this can also cause trauma for the other children that are around him.
Mm-hmm. And then, as you said, it leads to mental disorders, and then it will be in adult life, they'll be acting out their traumas, and that starts the cycle all over again.
All over again. And remember, hurting people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
So until we deal with our own pain and get the necessary help, we're going to continue to have this cycle. I don't know if you guys have a trauma unit in Trinidad and Tobago, and I probably should be doing, I've been on your show so many times, I need to be doing a little bit more about, a little more reading,
yeah.
To see what is happening in Trinidad and to see what are some of the things that are happening over there. But, you know, we have a trauma unit that helps with trauma. We also have several hotlines that are, you know, that are help, people can call help, and there are safe spaces also. One of the things that I am personally doing, and this is just love for country and love for communities, is raising the voice on things like domestic violence and human trafficking, because these are things that begins in the home. And until we start having the conversation more and bringing these information to the forefront, like right now we have parents who are trafficking their young daughters. And people don't know that these things are really happening. So one of the things that I'm doing now is I'm working with TIP, you know, Trafficking in Person Unit, and they provide me with materials. We have some comic books for ages 6 to 12. You best know I'm using those things in Sunday school, and I'm getting in the primary schools in my community. And I'm talking to the children. Mm-hmm. We're talking to them about the signs of, you know, if somebody's do this to you, this is what you do. Creating the awareness so they know. Same thing with domestic violence, family violence on a whole, is how do we attack these things? Because I can guarantee you, every problem that is out there happening in the world begins where? In the home.
In the home,
and
yeah.
So we continue to have a parental crisis that I think we're looking so much at the solving the symptoms of everything that has taken place in the family. So we need to get back to the homes where we are educating parents, where we're making some things mandated, right? So that parents, teachers, churches, communities, we're all involved in the development of our children.
Now, in what you were just saying there, one of the things that I believe that needs to be like a heavy education program on is the different types of grooming and who can be, you know, a predator and, you know, how they present themselves.
That's right.
Grooming is like the first step into making sure that they get comfortable with you. And then, you know, from that comfort, there's another level of engagement that leads to, as you said, this worst case scenario, human trafficking, instances of abuse. But all of this to say that in light of Mental Health Awareness Month, you know, these things need to be discussed. We have to understand what the mental disorders are, if we could, you know, have an idea of what they are, understanding stereotypes and stepping away from the stigma attached to mental health. We probably be able to explore if it is that we fit the description. You know, and understanding the traumas not only have to stick with like those extreme traumas, but you know, the trauma of losing a family member, death in the family, losing a job.
Even a pet.
Pets.
Even a pet.
Yes.
Even a pet.
Yeah.
We take these things for granted. So a child might be crying because their pet died and you tell them, oh, stop the crying. You're crying for that?
Yeah.
No, this is a traumatic experience for a child. You know how many people are not allowed to grieve the death of a loved one? Mm-hmm. Like, especially our boys. I mean, you know, my I'm passionate about men and men's mental health. I spend a lot of time on there because our boys were trained that you're not supposed to cry.
Yeah.
And if you express your emotion, that's a sign of weakness. And so we have to go back to how do we talk to our boys? How do we treat our boys? I mean, our children overall, but that's how we're going to get away from the stigma. We have to start in the home with our children. Okay, so grandma passed away. How does that make you feel? You know, and if you can't get anything out of them, give them a piece of paper and some crayons and say, draw a picture of how you're feeling. You should see the things I do just to get something out of a child. I even have a hand drum. And if I can't get especially the boys to talk, I will ask them questions and tell them to give me a beat that will represent how they're feeling. Mm-hmm. I had one little boy burst my drum skin when I asked him a particular question. Burst, do you know how much strength it takes to burst a drum skin?
Mm.
I had one little girl one time, I tell her to draw me a picture of her family, and she's 6 years old. The first thing she did was draw a line in the middle of the page from the top to the bottom. On one side, there's a picture of a man and a little boy. These are stick people, but you could identify what they are.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, there's a picture of a woman and a little girl, because you see it has hair, right? And then on the side with the boys, there is a sealed heart. On the side with the girls, there is a broken heart. That is a lot that child was telling me. And of course, for confidentiality, I'll say too much about the case. But it turns out there was so much abuse going on in that home. How I got it out of the child, I got her to draw it. And so we have to start talking to our children. We have to start encouraging, empowering them every day. Social media is where a lot of grooming takes place for especially human trafficking. So what is happening is they know how to find their targets. They know to look for the vulnerable ones that look like they really don't have any self-esteem, or they have low self-esteem, or, you know, they may be impoverished, and they know how to groom them in quote unquote a better life or stuff like that. And, you know, when you're dealing with certain things and an opportunity comes, you may fall for it because I trust this person because now you have been groomed. And so my plea to parents is that you have to become more intentional in being louder than social media, louder than what communities are saying, louder than what the music is saying to your children. You know, my children live overseas. My youngest is 14 years old. But in a conversation last week, I say to him, his name is Samuel. I say, Sam, how is your heart? That's my question to them. How is your heart? And he said to me, Mom, I'm okay, but Mom, I don't know, sometimes I have bad thoughts. Okay, I wanna know. Baby, what, like what? Tell me. And he says, I don't know, Mom, just, and of course, he's not opening up. So I start asking questions.
Yes.
Have you thought of dying? Mm-hmm. No, Mom. Have you thought of taking your life? No, Mom. So when I get those things out of the way, here's what he said to me. He says, Mom, I judge people and I think bad of people when they don't talk to me. You know what that shows me right there? That shows me that he doesn't have a very high concept of himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I say to him, oh, I'm gonna send you a little test to do. And I'm still on the phone with him. We're on FaceTime. And I sent him an attachment style test and tell him I want him to do it right away. And his result was fearful avoidant. Now, people who have fearful, avoidant attachment style most of the time has low self-esteem. And when people have low self-esteem, what does that do? They attack others even, you know, or they defend even if nobody's attacking them. Mm. Now, somebody will say, but you're a therapist. Where would he develop that? Well, he has lived in a foreign country for many years. He's in a culture that is not his own. He's in a school with different children. And there's so many things.
Different tolerance levels. Yeah.
But you know what I do? The first thing this morning, I can read it for you. I said, good morning, my sweetheart. Today, remember, you are loved and you are love. Because you are love, you will show up with empathy, grace, and kindness towards others. Your brilliance, no one can take away. Your excellence, no one can take away. Your talent, no one can take away. Your self-worth, no one can take away. So go out this week and let the love within you light up the lives of others. I love you always. So I am intentional about sowing seeds, mm-hmm. seeds of goodness in their heart, seeds of your love. You know, you can be better, you're this, you're that. And we as parents, we just have to become more intentional with that. Start at home. You have one child, start right there. If you don't have children and you're involved in a school, start right there. Mm-hmm. One child at a time, and we can change our nations.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up too, because I think the power of the word is very, very important.
Absolutely.
And very, very powerful. So if it is that you continue to give those affirmations to your children to repeat. Now, the thing is, you said social media has a lot to do with the environment and the mindset of children coming up, be it that they are bullied or made to feel less than because they've seen so many examples of what quote-unquote success looks like. There are also videos on social media with parents, you know, doing these daily affirmations with their children, making them stand in front of the mirror and say, I'm light, I'm beautiful, I'm proud, I can do it. You know, so I guess from that, you have to be selective, really, of what you expose your children to on social media and making sure that they get that daily dose of encouragement and, you know, bringing that positive side of self-esteem to, I guess, buffer mental health. Kind of hit it on the head?
Absolutely. You know, and somebody will say, and I'm not knocking social media, let me just throw that out there, mm-hmm. you know, because social media is an amazing tool. It has been an amazing tool for my business.
Yeah, it depends on how you use it.
It depends on how you use it. And remember that these young minds, they're not fully developed. So most of the time, they're not mature enough. You know, children mm-hmm. are wanting to commit suicide because they don't have enough likes on something they posted. Oh, but my friend didn't like it, you know? And so we have to be careful as parents, because like you said, the power of the word. I had a woman conference last week at my church, and one of the speakers, you know, one of my girlfriend came in from overseas. And so she stayed with me for the week, and we're just having conversations, right? And she said that one of her friends was talking to her, and he said he never recognized all his life that he was not so good looking.
Mm.
And she said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, all my life, my mother told me I am the most handsome guy. So I went through life just, I am the most handsome guy. And she was like frightened that he didn't recognize that he wasn't so good looking. he never knew.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like,
I guess according to this, the quote unquote standard of what beauty and handsomeness is, you know, so he had to define it for himself in his own mind.
Right. But point is, his level of self-confidence, because his mother continued to instill these things in his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might have grown up poor, but I had parents who were always telling me I'm pretty. So mm-hmm. the first like a chicken head boy that come to me to say, oh, you're pretty, can we talk? I already know that, dude.
Mm-hmm. What else can you tell me? Yes.
What else can you tell me? So mm-hmm. I am saying we have to be the first responders for our children. And if it is that we don't know, then find the help, because there are community groups. For us, if you log on to the Ministry of Health Jamaica, there's so much materials on mental health, on parenting. we have to be intentional mm-hmm. about the mental health, our own mental health, and the mental health of our children. Because here's another thing. Trauma begins in the womb. Process that for a minute. Mm. So when you have a mother, and most of these parents also have their own childhood traumas that were never dealt with. So all of those things, the children, you know, they're assimilated by the children if trauma begins in the womb. And so I'm encouraging everyone, look at your own life. What are your own traumas, and get the necessary help so that we can better help our children, so that we can now start breaking this stigma. There is no health without mental health. It is with the mind. The mind functions who we are. So just like we're intentional about our physical health, you know, we yeah. have to now become more intentional about our mental health.
And of course, well, we've got 2 more minutes before 10 o'clock and 2 more minutes into this interview. But just to give some tips as to how we can improve mental health, very short ways. Well, you said exercise being one. What would be another way to encourage, you know, good mental health?
Togetherness with your children. Children spell love, T-I-M-E. Mm-hmm. So simple things, having a movie night. You know, a games night, you can take the children running with you, get them involved in activities, sports. Sports is an amazing tool to help with mental health, especially for our boys. You know, boxing, I got my older son in boxing, you know, during his teenage years because he started getting angry. And let me tell you something, now he's the one helping his friends with their mental health issues.
But sorry to cut across, but that is such a paradox.
Okay.
Because you say that something that may be considered quote-unquote violent, boxing, because trust me, I've seen some boxing matches and want, like, you know, kind of shy away from television. But to understand that that is a way in which he dealt with his anger and then, you know, is a positive thing. So
it is. It's an outlet. It's mm-hmm. an outlet. I was talking to someone recently and she told me, she says, Dee, my outlet was running. So when she recognized life was happening, her outlet was running. So she would just run until she became who she became, mm-hmm. right? So I am saying, find ways and means. Encourage your children to write. You know, encourage them to do journaling. Encourage them to draw. Most of all, get up every day and tell your children that you love them. Love is a transmitter. You can love a dead child back to life.
Mm. Thank you so much.
Get back to love.
Thank you so much, Dr. Petgray, for joining us today. Unfortunately, we have to cut the interview. Of course, you know, the invitation is always welcome to come back to Freedom 106.5 FM to talk about this and, you know, give us pointers and tips as to how we can deal with our mental health. I appreciate
it. Absolutely.
You.
And I have great blogs on my website, which is DawnMarieTherapy.com. So there's great information. There's even a free journal. So if persons just want to go on just to pull down a copy of a free journal, they can do so. And it's DawnMarieTherapy.com. Thank you guys so much for having me again. Mm-hmm. And congratulations on the amazing work that you guys continue to do with mental health. Blessings.
Thank you so much.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.